AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
SB and Sean breaking through the noise, serving real talk, the genuine choice.
No pretense, no hidden schemes, just sports, passion, fueling dreams. From the field to the court, every play that's made, real takes over fake debates. Turn it up, hear the honest sound. Unfiltered sports all year round. Discussions pure, no masquerade. Real takes over fake debates. Turn it up. Over fake debates. Real takes. Over fake debates.
Real takes over fake debates.
And we are live. SB Talk Sports, Sean Webb. Real takes over fake the base. It is Monday, Sean. How are you feeling today, man?
Doing good, SB. Happy Monday to you. Happy Monday to everyone out there listening. And thank you for taking some time to listen to us this evening. Appreciate you.
Oh, yeah, we definitely appreciate you guys. Make sure you guys like, make sure you guys share, make sure you guys subscribe. But, Sean, before we get into the show, we have breaking news. So, Sean, the breaking news is Thunder center Chet Holmgren has a pelvic fracture. He will be out for at least 8 to 10 weeks. What was your reaction when you seen this?
Well, I saw the injury happen live when he went down, the way he grabbed, you know, his hip. I was like, oh, man, something's like a hip issue. Certainly, he needed help, you know, getting off the floor because he went down pretty hard. Mm-hmm. I was glad it wasn't anything lower, you know, leg, because I know he's, you know, obviously had some issues there previously. But, you know, just, you know, definitely, you know, for a team that views themselves as a real contender in the Western Conference and the NBA, I wish they are. Certainly, it's a big blow. Mm-hmm. But one thing I will have to say is, you know, he missed his rookie year, or what technically was his rookie year. You know, being out with injury, that team played pretty well. Then, obviously, you know, last year being the number one seed in the West, you know, it was definitely there were a lot of expectations this season, and certainly health factored in. But the one thing that Thunder team is not going to make excuses, you know, and they're going to try to find a way to keep going. And eventually, I presume they're going to get Hartenstein back, which will help. You know, lessen some of the blow, but certainly Chet, when you look at just kind of the pecking order on that team and where things were heading, Chet was, you know, his continued attention next to SGA, who's an MVP candidate and obviously a multiple time all-star, was certainly a big part of why they were so excited going into the season. But, you know, 8 to 10 weeks at least, you know, could be, you know, again, could be a little bit, you know, longer, shorter, depending on his healing and obviously his ability to, you know, get back, you know, practicing and things like that. But definitely stinks, but it's the unfortunate part of, you know, sports in the NBA.
Yeah, injuries definitely suck. This is a big blow for me for two reasons. Obviously, like when he's looking at the Thunder, even though it's hard to take the standings as serious right now in the NBA because everybody at least like 10 or 11 games in the season. You know, that does not truly define it. It's a long journey of a 82-game season. But the big problem that I have, obviously, because we've seen this young Thunder team look like something and they was building good chemistry. And with Chet Holmgren on the court, he's a different type of player. He's one of those unicorn players. And that's also where I go to my second point with him being a unicorn player. I'm just nervous with the injury history. And could this be lingering on? Obviously, like you said, this is a second injury for him. And he already kind of missed some time early in his career. So we haven't really seen his true potential of what he can become yet. So him being sidelined is another day away from him developing more growth. But with this young Thunder team, I think they're going to be outstanding and he's going to be a big part of it. Also with Chet, he don't really necessarily like truly depend on like his athletic ability. He's a very skilled player. Like I said, he's one of those unicorn type players, but you know, the unicorn players built like skinny centers, but they play like guards. You know, the body ain't maybe not big to be moving that fast skill like that. Or, you know, they usually be a little fragile because they're smaller, but then you also, you don't want them to put too much weight on because then their body not used to having their weight, and then you could be getting hurt either way. But it sucks for the Thunder, but I think they should be fine future-wise. They still got SGA. Like you said, when Hartenstein come back, I think they will add more to the table, but I think the Thunder should be fine. Now, Sean, the biggest story and the main thing that we need to get into, let me go back to what I have, my NFL standings. So NFL Sunday, we got game tonight, which we're going to preview today, Dolphins versus the Rams. But the main thing that was really on a lot of people's minds, it's a couple things, but let's start here at once. The Bears played the Patriots yesterday. The Patriots, who are 3-7, by the way, at this point in time. But also to make this story even much better is that Drake May, who was the number 3 pick, is playing the number 1 pick, Caleb Williams. So you already know the comparison. Let's see what quarterback will do better. They played. Drake May had a touchdown this game. Caleb Williams did not. The Patriots had a touchdown this game. The Bears did not. The Bears looked terrible. The Bears look awful. They look like they mismanaged. They look like the team is look bad. It's not going to lie. And Matt Eberflus is the main steak on this grill. And that seat, which is his coaching position, is very hot right now. Is Matt Eberflus' time up in Chicago, and how hot is that seat? I'm not going to ask you, is it hot? Because we know it's hot. But how hot is that seat in Chicago for Eberflus? And is he the problem for the Bears?
I mean, it's equator hot. It's the equator.
That's the equator. Oh, the hottest you can put it up is it sizzling? Is it burning? Is it overcooking? What we talk about on the, how it's looking on the grill?
Yeah, I'm talking like SpongeBob flipping burgers at the like it's hot.
It's hot.
You know,
it's ready. The grill is ready.
You know, SB, and again, you know, shout out to, you know, two brothers that we had on from the Chi-Town
Chi-Bulls podcast. Yeah.
Chi-Bulls podcast earlier this year. This is why I was like, move on. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because I thought Eberflus was a bad coach. Mm-hmm. I just didn't see him being the long-term answer for the Chicago Bears, given them making the transition from Justin Fields to Caleb Williams, which I know we're going to talk about here in a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was bad. I mean, it was really bad.
Sure. I believe he got sacked 9 times. Maybe 10. I might be selling it short. It might have been 10.
Yeah, it was 9. Yeah, and... Mm-hmm. And when I saw yesterday, SB looked like they didn't do anything to get him ready for what the Patriots were going to throw at him potentially. And that, to me, was a bigger, way bigger issue than the fact they lost the game.
Right.
When you just look at that division. I'm talking about that division.
Which is good right now.
which is really good right now. And when you just talk about the head coaches in that division, where would you rank Matt Eberflus among the head coaches in that division?
The worst, no question. Worst coach in the division, no question.
The worst coach in the division, and this, and we just said he's not a terrible coach. Mm-hmm. It's just in that division, when you look at Campbell, when you look at, you know, LaFleur, when you look at Kevin O'Connell, those guys are all probably, if not in that top 10 conversation, probably at least top 12 conversation of NFL head coaches. The Bears have to do something. And I just don't see that happening with Matt Eberflus. You know, it's what he did late last season, going on the run, could be classified as fake hustle.
he coaching for his job. That's why I look a little better.
Right. It's the equivalent of SB, if you come home and your lady is cleaning the house and to look like you're helping out, you just take out the trash. Well, you ain't picked up a mop. You ain't picked up a broom. You ain't ran the vacuum. You ain't picked up the dust buster. You know, you ain't got the Swiffer, nothing. You literally like, so it looks like, oh, you know what? You're actually giving contribution, but the contribution is very minimal. And that to me was Matt Eberflus late last season, particularly again, because the Bears were in a unique position where you're going to have a number one pick. And it was very clear you were probably going to take Caleb Williams.
Right.
And I think that's where it comes down to for me is you're in a different state as an organization now, just looking at the division alone, but also you got to really make sure that over these next 3 to 4 years that you're pushing all your chips in on Caleb Williams and building an infrastructure around Caleb Williams that helps him to develop, because as talented as he is, he still has to develop. And I never thought Matt Eberflus was the right person to lead that charge as a head coach. And that, to me, is why I thought they should have moved on.
Yeah. Also, Cottage wanted to know, are the Chicago Bears overrated? At the beginning of the season, they was. Not no more. But now, Sean, for me, to your point, another thing where, like, I get it. Remember, shout out C-Dub and Bobby when they came on for Shot Bulls podcast. Because he was like, we all had to understand, like, hey, he did earn his ability to actually coach again because he did a solid job. But when you know you're bringing in a new guy, quarterback, because you get rid of the old one, you should get rid of the new coach. And then also, one of his coaches who was known to run a great offense and going to make your offense look good and make your quarterback look good was going up to the next level, to the NFL, you should have took that chance. Because guess who looks great this year? Jaden Daniels. And you know who over there? Kingsbury's over there. And you know who Kingsbury was coaching last year in college? Caleb Williams. And Kingsbury, known him, he gonna have some plays in offense is gonna make you look good. But also, if it's better for a quarterback to run a system that he's already used to running. And because we've seen the Caleb Williams numbers in college. Everybody was expecting Caleb Williams to throw 4,000 yards this year, which was a tall task to ask for anybody, but you know, with the extra games and how the games is played, and you see his talent, so you just assume that he was going to do it. But we talking about the Chicago Bears here, who didn't change the coach, because I think it's more than just Eberflus. That's just the problem too. I think it's more up to ownership. We could go down a list, but the main pinpoint I wanted to get on right here, though, which is the most important point, is like you said about the Caleb Williams thing, and it's about the Bears. And the Bears have not been known for creating good quarterbacks. So this begs the question, Sean. Are the Bears ruining Caleb Williams? And shout out King Snoop in the IG chat. He said, we need an O-line. We need an O-line.
Yeah, I mean, I think some of that is true. King Snoop, salute to you. But I do think it's, again, it's not so much that you need an O-line. It's the function of what you're running offensively that often protects your O-line. Right. And I think that factors in when I watch this Bears team. If you take away or you're able to limit the Bears' ability to run the football, and you're basically saying, hey, to beat us, you're going to have to drop back and you're going to have to throw the ball this many times. I think that doesn't do well to necessarily help the Bears offensive line, as we've seen this year, even in the games where Caleb Williams has played, you know, really well. But I tweeted something yesterday, SB, during the game, and it was not just about Caleb Williams, but it was also watching the Colts and Buffalo game. And I believe it to be very, very true.
Oh, so can you tell us what you tweeted? Even though I know some people see it, but it's some people who listen to us, they ain't got the video. So you got to tell us what you tweeted.
So what I tweeted was, organizations fail young quarterbacks way more than young quarterbacks fail organizations.
I have to agree. Let me go ahead and like that. I have to agree with you on that one. That is because, true.
Yeah, because that's part of what, when we're looking at the Bears, and the Bears, for example, are a great situation, and the Colts as well.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Part of the issue for me, SB, is, do the Bears have the current infrastructure in place, when you talk about head coach, offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, to help develop Caleb Williams? I think the front office, Ryan Poe, I think those guys want to, obviously, they want Caleb Williams to be successful. They want Caleb, but there's a development process that has to happen, and it has not happened to this juncture. It's not. So are the Bears ruining Caleb Williams as currently constructed? If they don't make changes, I think there is obviously the long-term concern about whether or not this is the right group to develop Caleb Williams. That's an absolute question. And I do think this is, again, going back, this is part of why I really believed, and one of the reasons why they didn't get someone like Cliff Kingsbury, SB, was because everybody knew Eberflus was essentially coming in the season as a lame duck, no matter what the organization said, that he was going to be coming in as a lame duck. When you look at Dan Quinn, Dan Quinn's a brand new, I'll be his second chance to be a head coach, brand new head coach in Washington. They tied Dan Quinn to Jaden Daniels. If you're Cliff Kingsbury, you're saying, hey, this organization seems like they're fully committed to these two guys. This is where I want to be. And you're seeing the success of that commitment because those two guys are tied together. I think the Bears keeping Eberflus, and again, I'm never a fan of fire a coach or get rid of a coach unless it's Dennis Allen. But the point is at the end of the day, you have to make a decision to, you're bringing in this quarterback really in the draft. Let's make sure we got a head coach that we are completely 100% willing to tie to this guy for the long run, particularly in that first few years of his development. And the Bears did not do that with Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams, in my opinion.
To go back to your tweet, because that's the main one for me. Organizations fails young quarterbacks way more than young quarterbacks fail organizations. And we have to look at that as true examples, because I think the Bears ruined Mitch Trubisky. You can argue if he was good or bad or not, whatever. 49ers with Trey Lance. Luckily, the other guy came out good that's there now, who might possibly get paid, did a good job. We've seen many telltales of quarterbacks succeeding or failing because of the position that the organization put him in or the position that the coach put him in. Patrick Mahomes, as great as he is, he will not be in the GOAT conversation, one of the best quarterbacks the best quarterback in the league without Andy Reid and that Chiefs system. And also, Chiefs did a great job where slowly developing him, not rushing him out there, because he's behind Alex Smith at the time, He came in at the end of the year. All right, we finna throw him out. This our guy now. Development matters, and how you develop matters, and also how what you don't want to kill your young quarterback's confidence early. Getting sacked 9 times, can't nobody do anything with that. And then also another confidence killer is that he's not putting up nearly the stats he was in college, whether the yardage or touchdown. So that's another confidence killer. Then another confidence killer is that y'all lingering over his head about this old team. I mean, the old quarterback who was there before, all comparing and saying the stats is the same. He ain't as good as he's supposed to be, which the guy is very talented. And then four, he just lost to the number two and number three pick. And making it seem like they really outplayed him, because Drake Bay played solid, but it wasn't like Drake May was just out there looking like the next coming of Patrick Mahomes. And then even when Jaden Daniels had that game, it was like a nice game. It wasn't like Jaden Daniels just washed him and it's like, oh man, they should have picked Jaden Daniels over him. Because even if this was the different situation around, if this was Jaden Daniels on the Bears, the same thing would be happening. If they would have picked Drake May, the same thing would be happening. So it's the organization, fault. And I blame, like I said, the ownership's up top, because if you knew you bringing this new quarterback in, you got to change your coach. Y'all was 50-50 last year. It wasn't just Justin Fields. You knew you had O-line problems. You supposed to update your O-line because you got this young quarterback who could possibly be the best quarterback in franchise history. You could finally lift the curse that Chicago Bears could actually develop a quarterback. But no, we're going to be lazy. We're going to be cheap. And this is what happened. You get a cheap outcome for the cheap product that you put in. And that's all it is with them.
Yeah, and I just say this one last thing real quick, SB. My issue with quarterback development, part of quarterback development is one word that this society seems not to know anymore, and that word is patience.
Man, you say that again, man. This is we're in a microwave era. Yes.
Yeah. If it ain't ready in 3 minutes or less, it ain't good.
It ain't good.
And again, I don't like to, point to other situations, but obviously we're talking about the NFL, so we're going to point to other situations. You mentioned Patrick Mahomes. I look in Atlanta right now, and everybody went crazy and nuts when the Falcons, as we did, like we were very shocked that the Falcons took Michael Penix Jr. Our surprise that they took Penix was not because we didn't think Penix was talented, because as you and I both said, I think he is the best pure thrower of the football in this draft class. And when he gets on the field, eventually in Atlanta, I think they're going to be very happy with what they're getting. But what he's getting a chance to do right now is what Jordan Love and Patrick Mahomes and others got, which was the chance to not be forced into action out of the necessity to try to save jobs.
Yep.
I don't know if Caleb Williams should have played from day one. I don't know. Because there was some thought that, the Bears should just keep Justin Fields and start Justin Fields and then let Caleb Williams come in and play. I don't know if that was the answer.
Yeah.
I think it could have been a very awkward situation, particularly if Justin Fields had balled out.
Which does happen.
But also, for Justin Fields and for his career, if it's very clear he doesn't have a long-term future with the Bears, then it made sense for the Bears to move on. I just think there's not a desire to develop quarterback. Trey Lance is a great example of that, SB. Trey Lance needed develop. Everybody said, coming in for all the physical gifts, he needed time to develop. He never got that in San Francisco. So everybody's saying, he's a bust. But we don't know because he only played 4 games. How would you know?
He'd be playing a whole season. Nothing.
Right. Anthony Richardson's a great example of that. Anthony Richardson only played 10 games. And I'll tell you this much. Take Anthony Richardson's numbers in his first 10 games and line them up with number 17 in Buffalo's first 10 games, and they are very similar numbers. And we're talking about number 17 now, and Buffalo was an MVP candidate.
Yes, sir.
So that's all I'm saying. Are the Bears ruining Caleb Williams? As currently constructed, I don't think it's going to be good for him long term. They got to do something.
And they on the highway to it. They on the highway to doing it.
Yeah, but you're driving down that road real quick.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, get off the road, Bears. Do what you got to do.
Yeah, yes, I have to agree with you on that one. Next one. Close game. 28-7 went down to the wire. But I want another Sean's favorite quarterback, Mr. Unlimited, Mr. Danger Witch. Russell Wilson is 3-0 with the Steelers since he started. He just come off a great win against the Washington Commanders, who are one of the NFL surprising, shocking teams. And also, not going to lie, the same thing could be said about the Steelers, too. The Steelers are 7-2, and the Commanders are 7-3. Game went down to the wire. Russell Wilson gets the job done. What was your reaction to Mr. Unlimited? And is the Steelers a legit threat? Is that, Sean? And then also, I know George Pickens is happy with Russell Wilson being in their quarterback, because he'd definitely be I'd have seen like two spectacular catches by George Pickens. But are the Steelers legit, Sean?
Are they legit? They're 7-2. Mm-hmm. When you say legit, are you asking me, are they as good as the Chiefs or the Ravens?
No. Okay. Legit playoff team.
Yeah, they're probably a playoff team now. Also keep in mind they haven't played a divisional game yet. Right. Yeah. Six of their last eight games are in the division. Starting this week against Baltimore.
All Mike Tomlin got to do is get his eight. So he don't need one more. He cool. As long as he get his eight.
Well, technically he has to get nine.
Nine now. Yeah.
But listen, Russell Wilson played really solid yesterday. And I say really solid. He was 14 out of 28. That's 50% completion percentage, y'all. We're not going to lose our minds over 50% completion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
He made a couple really nice throws. Definitely the last one to Mike Williams for the go-ahead touchdown was a really good throw. His ability as a veteran quarterback to, you know, use the hard count to get Washington to jump off sides late in the game when Washington was trying to get the ball back was certainly a veteran move. But the Steelers weren't terrible before he started. Like, it's not like he came in and like, oh, he just saved this struggling team. No, it was – they wanted to go to a veteran guy because Mike Tomlin and that organization wants to win a playoff game. They haven't won a playoff game in 7 years.
Mm-hmm. The last one they should have won, they choked. Because who was their last playoff game? I'm thinking
Buffalo.
Buffalo last year. Yeah, they choked.
Yeah. So are they playing well? Yeah, but. Mm-hmm. It's about to get real because you're about to see the people in your house, in your division.
And with another team we're going to talk about in a second, you see divisional team play, you better, even if they trash.
Right. So, yeah. So, let's just see what they do in the division remaining. I think they're a wild card team, obviously, in the AFC right now. Because,
mm-hmm.
again, I still think Baltimore wins the division. But that's it. You know, they got a real – close win yesterday in Washington. Let's see what they do when Baltimore comes to town.
I was going to say, looking at their schedule right now, if the Browns was how they're supposed to be, this schedule will be this back end of the schedule has been tough. You got Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Browns, Eagles, Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals. If the Browns was how they're supposed to be, this has been tough. But I think I can see them at least winning two to three more games. I got the – because it's going to be ugly. But I feel like if any of those teams take the Steelers lightly, they will definitely lose. But
right. And again, none of these games I would take lightly.
Mm-mm.
Like none.
None. No, you can't. And I wouldn't take the Steelers lightly if I was on the other side of the other fence too, because you would lose real quick too.
Yeah, no. But I mean, just think about sometimes how it's not even who you're playing, it's how the schedule lines up. Because they got Baltimore this Sunday, and then they got to go to Cleveland for Thursday night football.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah, that's what's up.
Yeah. So, you know, and again, Cincinnati, while their season hasn't gone as they had hoped, they, you know, they definitely are ones who, you know, I wouldn't take them lightly. Philly is playing, you know, some really good football right now. And
they're locking in.
Right. And you got Kansas City on Christmas Day. So I just think, again, their schedule's not easy coming up. So let's see what they do. SB, I just saw some breaking news. I don't know if you want to put
breaking news. No breaking news? Okay. Let me get the breaking news. What we get at? What we wait? Oh, wrong button. Breaking news. Breaking news, Sean. What is the breaking news, Sean?
Breaking news, SB. John Robinson, the veteran football coach who enjoyed many years of success at USC and with the LA Rams, has passed away.
Oh,
yeah.
Who said John Robinson?
John Robinson, yeah. John Robinson coached at USC in the mid 70s to early 80s, and then again during the mid 90s. Never had a losing record while he was at USC, and then coached the Rams in the 80s. Eric Dickerson played under him with the Rams as well, and got to the NFC Championship game twice. So really good football coach, longtime football coach John Robinson passed away at the age of 89.
R.P. John Robinson. Prayers to the Ram family and the USC family and the Robinson family. Prayers. Sean, speaking of another team where we might need to take seriously. I mean, we're going to take them seriously regardless because of the Chiefs. But I'm saying the point of the series, there's something got to be going on. I don't know who they done pray to. I don't know what they sacrifice. I don't know if they sacrificed the sweepies. I don't know if they sacrificed Travis Kelce ability, talent ability, even though he scored a touchdown. Something going on. Because ain't no way the Chiefs are still undefeated. And sure, they played terrible last night. But also that came to the fact when we were talking about like your division rivals. Like nobody's taking the Broncos serious this year. They 5-5. They're an okay team. They had their ups and downs, a young quarterback. But when you play your division rivals, even the team at the bottom of your division will give the team at the top of the division a tough game, which the Broncos did do. The Chiefs beat the Broncos 14-16 off a block field goal. How is they still doing this? How? I asked how last show, Sean. I'm truly trying to understand. How are they still doing this? This is a perfect example of like, What luck of the Irish? What gold coin did they got? Like, what is going on, Sean? How is they keep doing this? I don't understand this, man. How?
I think the primary thing, SB, is they are one of those teams that play really good situational football. When you watch them, it's not the same game plan every week. It's here's what we think we have to do to give ourselves a chance to win this particular game. Mm-hmm. Not only that, I think a lot of it has to go down to just how they manage games within that situational football. And some of it is, yeah, you need some things to break your way, right? Mm-hmm. There's no disputing that. But, you know, the Chiefs rarely beat themselves.
Unfortunately,
they rarely beat themselves. You've ever watched a great boxer who may not necessarily have, you know, supreme knockout power or anything like that?
Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, but Floyd is a great example. Floyd never beats himself.
Never.
He never beats himself. He is a computer. Floyd is a great example. And that really is, when you think about the Chiefs, they are a computer. They see what you're doing. They figure it out. They may let you drive the field on the first drive of the game just because they're just a computer, just taking in information, trying to figure it out. And you think, oh, man, this worked. We're not going to change it because it worked.
Worked.
And that computer has a counterpunch, just like Floyd, one of the greatest counterpunches ever. But also, why it's a good Floyd comparison is defensively, they're never out of a game because their defense is just that good.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, all they generally need is just a window. If they find a window, they find a way to win. Now, that said, they have been playing with house money these last few weeks. They got a big game this week, which I know we'll talk about Friday. Will be one of our key games this Friday. They got to go to Buffalo.
Ooh-wee.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see. We'll see.
And then for me with the like Chiefs, only good thing that comes from this, though, is this is kind of preparing them for the long road of the playoffs because of them being in tight games. That's how usually playoffs are. They're going to be tight, game-winning, drag games. It's to a point now, Sean, where it's like, what? It's last game because they did with the block field goal. But if you want to add it because they did come down, they can get position to score to take the lead. Even with the Buccaneers game, right? And I forgot who I was watching the game with. I don't know where I was at watching. I was like, bro, they need to go for two. They need to go for two. I was like, just go for two, get it over with. Don't take the chance because you give Pat Mahomes a chance. It's like what Kobe Bryant said that one time, you gave me too much time. It's certain people, you don't need to give them time opportunity. You just got to get them up out of that down. The Chiefs, anybody playing the Chiefs, go for the win. Just look, because if once you go for the coin toss, or Mahomes got enough time to get downfield, you're going to lose. It's guaranteed. Andy Reid probably got like 10 packages of different game-winning draft plays prepared for each team. I guarantee he do all the time. But I digress. But another shocker game that we had was the Detroit Lions produce an incredible comeback, Sean, to defeat the Houston Texans. And Jared Goff threw 5 picks. And they still found a way to win. Sean, these are the games where you're trying to become a true contender. These are the games on your list that helps you build that character, helps you build that toughness. And you know, I'll be on TikTok, so people do like the little edited clips and memes. And it brought me back after the Lions won this game. It brought me back to when Campbell first got the job.
Yes.
And he had that speech about the kneecap speech. Everybody killed them. They was like, oh, yeah, the Detroit Lions are no man's land. Same thing with Jared Goff receipts. People pulled that back up when he got traded, talking about they sent him to Detroit to die. His career going to be over with. They have what Jared Goff yesterday was bad. But that man Campbell has a hold on that locker room, has a hold. The players on that field run through a brick wall for him. Za'Darius Smith literally was there. Coach gave him his bad week off because he was going to have a bad week off. And he was ready to get on the field and run through a wall for that man. That right there is going to turn this team into a championship caliber team. And that right there is going to make the Lions, if not the best team in the NFC with the best chance. This is how you get it done. Good defense, good execution, steel pedal to the metal. Never fold, never waver, not waver from the interceptions, not waver, like was down by a lot. They stayed the course and the team stayed calm and they came back. Good game, by the way. This was a good game.
Yeah, this was for a lot of us, this was definitely probably our game of the day. I know a lot of people were high on that Pittsburgh-Washington game, which, you know, turned out to be a good game, you know, competitive game the entire game. But SB, I know a lot of people are talking about the Lions in this, and again, an incredible comeback win. But this game to me was more about the Texans. And the Texans coming into this season viewed themselves as a team right there in the same conversation, I believe, with Kansas City and with Baltimore.
Yep.
But last night's game, for me, proved they're still a little bit of ways away from that conversation.
Right, which is understandable.
They're a really good team, but they're not a great team yet. CJ Stroud is a really good young quarterback. He is not great yet. I will give him a pass for the first interception. I think the first interception he threw was just a really great play on Carlton Davis' part. He jumped the out route. He read it well. And it was the first play of the second half. Okay, you know, Texans had struggled to run the football. They're up. I was kind of surprised they didn't come out trying to establish the run game, seeing as they got the ball out of the first half. I know to start the second half, a little surprising. The second CJ Stroud interception, the one where he's late throwing into the end zone. You can't do that. You can't do that. And the Texans defense, while they didn't get necessarily a bunch of sacks, and obviously they were missing Will Anderson last night as well, which, you know, probably factored into some of their pass rush. They were very opportunistic taking the ball away. I thought D'Amico Ryans called a really good game against that Lions offense. But the Lions continued to play, and they continued to do what they do. And the biggest change for me with the Lions was they featured Jahmyr Gibbs more. And he got going in the second half, and it was a long game after that. And again, you know, great teams don't beat themselves. The Texans, to me, beat themselves last night, in spite of, you know, picking off five passes from Jared Goff. One of them was a late Hail Mary heave in the first half. I don't necessarily count that one, but again, you know, so, you know, but still, you know, to be able to get the ball back as much as they were, you know, the Texans just, they still got a ways to go to become a great team. And I think that's what last night game proved for me.
Yeah. Sean, can't believe we're going to have three segments about the Cowboys real quick. They at the bottom of the NFC, Jerry Jones was much how happy he would love to hear this, that they will still find a way to get talked about. So during the game, it was the let me go back to the game list. It was the Cowboys versus the Eagles. The Eagles demolished them. But during the game, CD Lamb was open in the end zone. Missed the catch. Wide open catch. Are you thinking like CD Lamb? CD Lamb not going to miss that wide open catch. Oh, it's because he couldn't see the ball. Because in Jerry World, we're not going to call it the stadium name because it's Jerry World. So Jerry wants that attention so much. The windows, the sun was beaming up during the whole in the whole end zone. So CD Lamb could not even see. And an easy touchdown that could have been scored did not get scored for the Cowboys. And CD Lamb called for the curtains to be up. And Jerry Jones, I guess they didn't do it. And then I think Jerry had said something about it. Let's see what Jerry said. What did Jerry say about this situation? If you know. Because I don't think he said nothing. But he probably did. Knowing Jerry, he probably did say something.
Well, he said something in his post game press conference, which he always has after, you know, every game, regardless. Basically, one of the reporters asked about, you know, should, you know, they do something about the sun issue or whatever, and, you know, could they put the curtains up, you know, to keep the sun from coming in, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And Jerry Jones basically says, well, maybe we should just tear down the stadium and rebuild it. You know, like, is it, at this point, is it senility? Is it arrogance? I don't know
either at this point with Jerry. I don't get it. It's for attention at this point. It got to be just for attention at this point. It has to be.
Yeah, it's like saying, hey, you know, well, you know, we know this is an issue. We know that wet spot's an issue, but hey, gosh, you just, you know, hey, figure it out, because we know that wet spot's an issue. When all you gotta do is wipe it up, all you gotta do is drop the curtains and keep the sun from coming in, because it helps nobody, particularly when you play 8 or 9 games in that stadium every year. Not including the playoffs, which, you know, they ain't going to be no playoff games this year.
All right, ain't going to be one this year. They got to be one this year.
Yeah, no, it's curtains on that, Jerry. You know, you know, but no, I mean, I think at the end of the day, it's like, you know, don't make it more difficult for your team to win. And that, to me, is really what it's about. But sometimes it's this, you know, I think in Jerry's mind, he says nobody has his finger on the pulse of that team more than me, which, you know, may be true. But here's the other reality. At a certain point, you have to say what I've been doing for the last 30 years has not been working. Maybe, just maybe, somebody else should, I should pay somebody else to have their pulse on the team, particularly because I'm running out of pulses myself.
Right. I'm going to say, Sean, he talked about the pulse. I got his pulse on the team. That team pulse is flatlining. It's flatlined. It's over.
Yeah. You know, if this was Gray's, they call in the coroner.
Call the Undertaker. Call the grave diggers. This is over. This is done. Oh my God. Hey, he picked the right turn pulse for that. But then the next thing with the Cowboys, with the next thing, Sean, it gets worse. You know, it can't just stay normal. It's Dallas. It's Jerry's world. Excitement, theater. Drop the curtains. I want to know, did Michael Parsons cross the line with the comments about his coach Mike McCarthy at the game? He said, you want to win games and do great things with those type of legends who put in more time and work than Mike McCarthy ever did. Those are the kind of guys that I have so much sympathy for, said Michael Parsons. And those guys he has sympathy for was like the older vets on the Cowboys, like this, like Zach Martin, just those guys, like the vets who've been on the team, you know, for longest, that he felt like they put in more work and he feel bad for them because they might end up leaving or they on their last contract.
Right.
Did Michael Parsons cross the line? This is post game.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think so.
He did, man. I don't think so.
Well, no, because
what he said wasn't wrong, but you know that. Come on, Sean, we admit it. You know that's a trap. That's a story. You know what the ploy gonna be in there, and then what it come off as. This the real reason why the Cowboys lose. They got no coaching locker rooms, no leadership. That's a whole domino effect. Even though what you said could be possibly true, that's not necessarily true. I'm not going to say people just did more stuff than Michael Carr. But I'm just saying, even though what you said could be true, whatever you say in the media, but you know they just waiting on that story to get you off that, especially when you lose it. You can't do that. No, that's why he crossed the line, because he knew it was a trap, and he did it on purpose.
Can we say the real reason why the Cowboys – are not a good organization and why they lose, particularly the way they lose?
I mean, I ain't gonna say it on air, but right there, what Renegade said, because they is that right there. The poop, a poop show. But Jerry Jones, he's right. Jerry Jones.
They would rather be popular than be good consistently.
100%. 100%.
Right.
1,000%.
They are the Kardashians. They have no discernible talent, but they are incredibly popular.
Incredibly. More than incredibly popular.
Right.
They live in all the fact they America's team on popularity, not even actually that they actually won.
Yeah, but the problem is that was 30 years ago. And even then, that America's team was really 50 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why? So I'm not going to do this.
Oh, you finna go off.
I'm just saying, like, it's there's other organizations, I think, and I say there's other organizations in other sports who are the same way. They're just not this bad with it, but they're the same way. This belief that, oh, because we're so and so, just because you put on a certain logo or a certain jersey does not give you superpowers. That is not how this works. I'm just being real. This is not how this works.
Yeah.
They are a poop show, and they continue to be it because the person at the top of the hill will not get out of the way. He will not get out of the way. And again, we talk about pulse and him having his hand on the pulse of that team. He don't have many pulses left himself. He's on borrowed time.
He might as well. It's over with.
Right. I mean, I'm just, I'm not even going to go to that other place, but this is emblematic of part of the issues we have when we talk about teams like this is he won't get out of the way.
He won't. He won't he until won't. He wants yeah, to he be passed.
Yeah, he won't get out of the way. Get out of the way. He get won't. Out of the way.
Sean, the only way Jerry would go get out the way is if he, you know what I'm saying? I'm just going to call it is what it is. No, I wish no ill will on nobody. I hope you can live to 150 if you could, brother. But until he pass away or until he gets to the point where he like bedridden where he can't get out of his bed. And I still think if he alive and posted on that bed, he's going to be right in that Cowboys office on the hospital bed, on the hospital bed, still signing players 2 years too late.
Did you ever see the picture that came out a couple years ago when he was caught in the crowd? In his hometown when they were integrating the school and it was a group of black kids walking into school and he's in the crowd peeping over like, you know, what's going on because the crowd clearly does not want integration. Yeah, there's a picture. Every day, very soon, people at the Cowboys facility are going to be like that crowd and every day he walks in, it's like, is he really still walking in here? Like, why is he still coming here? Like, go.
You might just say a shot at this point.
I don't know, because I don't want to lose out on potential sponsors, and I can't say what I really want to say. But
yeah, that's understandable.
Yeah, so I'm really trying to be very, very careful here, but it's just plumb arrogance at this point. And you know, till you do right by me, that's really what it comes down to with him. Till you do right by them. That's why it keeps being this, you know. So yeah,
you're right. But it's a point that you noted that I want to bring up, like really, because you said the team chase popularity and names, right? And when it comes to that, everybody does it with this team. Now, the first thing comes to team trash. You know, Rex Ryan was mad about what Michael Parsons said. He was one of the people who said that it ain't no culture in the locker room. There's no leadership in the locker room. That's what's bad. That's why they lose it. Rex Ryan calls for Deion Sanders to coach the Dallas Cowboys. Let me go ahead and tell y'all this. First of all, and they said, you know, obviously if you get Deion, they want the Cowboys to tank and get Shador. Okay, let's knock the easy one out first. Shador is not going to play for the Dallas Cowboys, even though that name would sell a lot of jerseys in the Dallas Cowboys jersey. But they just signed Dak Prescott to an extension. Do you understand? The Jets signed him, so the dead cap on his contract will bury the team. So then you're going to bring a quarterback in where you can't do nothing around there to help him because you got to take that dead cap in. Two, Deion Sanders on multiple occasions have already told y'all he is not going to coach in the NFL. He has no desire to coach in the NFL for multiple reasons. So stop saying that. Y'all begging for Deion Sanders to coach the Cowboys, he will not coach in the NFL. He's going to probably stay in Colorado or better yet, retire. So let it go, guys. It's a pipe dream. He already said why, because he's not going to respect no players getting paid millions of dollars who don't really try hard to love the game. Oh, he going to follow Shador. He already said he don't follow his kids. He lead his kids. He trying to lead his kids to the league. Stop it. He already recruiting players for the next season, too. Because if that's the case, he already got a five-star, the best quarterback in the draft possibly for the Cup side in Colorado. If he was going to leave, he wouldn't even been trying to recruit so hard with the next year the team's coming up. Stop saying that. Please, for the love of God, stop saying that. But, Sean, do you think Deion Sanders is coming to save the Dallas Cowboys? And should he?
That's me. I'm going to answer your question with a question. Mm-hmm. Why in the insert appropriate cuss word
bleep
would Deion Sanders leave Colorado to go to the Dallas Cowboys?
Mm-hmm.
Gonna mix my water up.
It makes no sense. It makes no sense. You could try to. Well, you ain't gonna get all three of them. You could try to get Shedeur Travis and Shiloh. He still ain't coming. He's still not coming. They trash. They're terrible. There's no reason to play for them.
And if you just look around the rest of the NFL, and we think there's probably going to be, I'm just guesstimating, there's already two jobs open.
Chicago.
There's already two jobs open. There's two jobs open, right, as of right now. Obviously, the Jets and the Saints, because they're using interim head coaches.
Oh, I thought some of people finna get fired, but y'all did.
But we always project it's probably going to be probably at least six jobs open, at least. Mm-hmm. Maybe more, but I'm saying at least six, you know, come the end of the NFL regular season. If the Dallas Cowboys are one of those jobs, knowing what you have to deal with in Jerry, why, when Deion Sanders basically has total control of that program at Colorado, why would he leave that to go to the Dallas Cowboys?
There's no reason to. No reason to. I don't see a benefit. I'm sorry. If y'all get mad at me, I just don't see a benefit.
Yeah. Now, again, could there be an NFL opportunity he would give consideration to? I think there would. Mm-hmm. But not the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-mm. And I'm going to keep calling them the Dallas Cowboys, so get used to it. It is going on this podcast, they will be known future as the Dallas Cowboys.
Dallas Cowboys. I mean, that's how they playing.
What I saw yesterday was Dallas Cowboys.
That was terrible.
But, and say, oh, we didn't have Dak. It wasn't good when he was there either.
Mm-mm. Oh, you can't blame the sunlight because y'all weren't scoring before when the sun wasn't there. So, what's the excuse?
Right. You literally get manhandled every week in Dallas. I know you don't play in Dallas, but you get manhandled every week you play in Dallas. Why would Deion Sanders, who values the control that he has,
prime time,
leave Colorado and go to that garbage and that trash and that situation where he will not have total control
and won't be able to do his job? And that's why Bill Belichick will not be going to the Dallas Cowboys. It's ugly. But Sean, before we go over our picks of the week, because we got to get up out of here, because we got football tonight. Game going to start within like next couple minutes. Dallas versus – oh, see, we talking about Dallas. Jeez Louise. Miami Dolphins versus the Rams preview. I believe in our picks of the week, we both picked the Rams. For me, looking at this, until the Miami Dolphins actually show me
– same record. Same record, basically.
Until the Dolphins pretty much show me they can get that high power offense back on track. I know Tua gonna need some time to get it together. I don't trust them at all. I don't trust the Dolphins right now. So I'm cool. My pick of the Rams. I think the Rams are banged up. I know Tyreek Hill was banged up, but I think he will play. It's like he practiced, but I'm still gonna pick with the Rams. Until I actually see the Dolphins get back to that high-powered offense, you know, they said Mr. McDaniels was the guru. I'm trying to see him be the guru-ist. So show me something. What about you? What's your preview for tonight? What you think you're going to see?
First of all, good luck with logic showing you something as the guru, because it's not happening. The Rams, I picked the Rams when we did our picks Friday. I'm sticking with that pick as well. I don't see, you know, a scenario where the Dolphins are just good enough top to bottom to beat this Rams team. And this Rams team knows they kind of, I would say, more of a must win for them tonight, just given the division. Both of the teams in the division played yesterday, won yesterday. So the Rams know they need this to really stay kind of in that hunt in the division So I'm sticking with the Rams.
Yeah, it's definitely tight end division. And anybody like, at that moment, anybody can win. Cardinals leading the division right now. All right, Sean, it is recap time of the picks of the week.
SB and Sean NFL picks of the week.
Recap
from week 10. Mm-hmm. First game, New York Giants at Carolina Panthers in Germany. Game ended up going to overtime, but Carolina ended up winning in overtime by a field goal. SB, you took the Giants. I took Carolina. So
I feel like this game gonna do me. I said this when we picked last. I said, I figured, watch, we're gonna come down to this game. This game, the one that's gonna do me in.
Yeah. Next game, New England at Chicago. We both took the Bears. That did never, not go well.
Never again.
Yeah.
never again.
Next game, Buffalo at Indianapolis. We both took the Bills. The Bills did win. Next game, Denver at Kansas City. We both took Kansas City. We obviously know Kansas City won on a blocked field goal late.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta at New Orleans. We both took, well, let me rephrase. You took Atlanta. I did not pick New Orleans.
He went against it. See, I said, what happened if they win, Sean? You should have stuck with you. You should have stuck with your boys. Man.
Listen, no. I did not. So, to be very clear, I did not pick that other team. I just did not pick New Orleans. That was just for clarity's sake.
So, do I get the dub for it then, since you didn't pick the other team?
Well, no. I just didn't pick against New Orleans.
Although it sounded like you picked the other team.
Yeah. Yeah, but I didn't say I was picking that other team because I cannot get those words out of my mouth. But that's it. The Saints did win. Neither one of us get that one. Mm-hmm. Next game, San Francisco at Tampa Bay. I took San Fran. You took Tampa Bay. San Francisco did win. Brock Purdy played really well yesterday, by the way.
Yes,
he did. Next game, Pittsburgh at Washington. You took Pittsburgh. I took Washington. Obviously, Pittsburgh won, so that was one for you. Mm-hmm. Next game, Minnesota at Jacksonville. Minnesota won despite not scoring a touchdown in Jacksonville, so that we both got that one. Mm-hmm. Tennessee at the LA Chargers. We both took the Chargers. The Chargers handled business appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. Next game, Philadelphia, Dallas. We both took the Eagles. The Eagles stomp.
Third.
Next game, New York Jets at Arizona. We both took Arizona. Arizona did win the game. Easily won the game, by the way.
Easily.
Next game, Detroit at Houston. You took Detroit. I took Houston. Detroit won on a last second field goal. So that one goes to you. Mm-hmm. And tonight's game, we both took the Rams. So we will end this week in a tie because I am not picking the Dolphins.
I'm not. What's the score? I back up one, right? What's our series?
Yes, you're back. You're up 1-5-4.
No, I'm cool. Yeah, we can just call it a tie. I ain't taking that chance.
No, I'm not picking the Dolphins.
They watch the Dolphins the best around the wheel, but I don't know. It's in L.A. too. If it was in Miami, I would probably take that risk. I would have been a gambling man that took that risk. Yeah. But I'm not going to do that, Sean, at all.
Yes. So, also, real Arizona, mm-hmm. quiet as kept, and Kyler Murray is playing like an MVP candidate. I just wanted to say that really quickly. We can get into why later, but playing like an MVP candidate, definitely.
Yeah. All the Call of Duty jokes, we thought we was going to keep it going. Nope, not no more. But Sean, episode 17. Who you got?
17. I'm gonna go. We'll go a couple places. First, Charlie Ward at Florida State, Heisman Trophy winner, greatest Florida State Seminole ever. Mm-hmm. Charlie Ward. And I'm gonna go. You know what? I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Havlicek.
Havlicek? Oh, I like that. I like the Havlicek. I'm gonna go show some Charger love. I'm gonna go Phillip Rivers. And I gotta get deep in my bag with one. I'm going to go Rick Fox. Did you play for the Lakers?
Rick Fox. Yes.
Rick Fox.
Okay. All right. This is a very interesting one. All right. Yeah.
When I was, ain't the NBA player Rick Fox, wasn't he an actor too, right? Or did he start acting too, right?
He started acting on Oz, and then he was in The Game and other shows.
He wasn't acting when he was on the Lakers, was he?
I think he was on Oz when he was on the Lakers, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. Yeah.
I think when I was young, I'm like, man, why this actor on the Lakers? And I was looking here like, bro, ain't this dude like a whole actor? How you on the team? But yeah, no, but I'm really, really going to go Philip Rivers. So.
Yeah.
Appreciate you for tuning in to the show. It's been another great episode of Real Takes Over Faker Base with SB and Sean Webb. And we will see you guys on Friday. Salute.
Real Takes Over Fake Debates.